Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll also spend some time this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and a few other passages. But if you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9, that'll be a good place for you to be. And you can just leave it open there for a while. We will get there. I promise you, we will get there. Well, God has great plans for the church, and we have discovered that those plans involve you and me. And last week, you remember, we were challenged that we need to share God with people by witnessing, just sharing what God has done in our own lives. And we saw that this was a priority of sharing God that starts here in our church and to extends to Dummerston, and then to Windham County, and then to Vermont, and then to the United States, and then to the ends of the world. And that's why we support missionaries like George and Kathy Ross and Beth Wise in Taiwan. And you know, everyone knows that in order for ministry to take place, it takes money. And just like witnessing, God expects all of his people to share in this privilege and this responsibility. Perhaps you're new to Windham Community Chapel and you're just getting familiar with some of the ways, our practices and our routines here. Well, let me tell you this. We support all of our ministries, both our operating budget and our support of missionaries, only through the generous giving of people who call this church their home. Now, some people, maybe you're one of them, consider talking about money as being too sensitive or too personal to talk about openly and frankly. But God doesn't. And he has given to us instructions in his word and principles to guide us in our giving for his kingdom work. It's all part of the plan that he has for his church and for our lives. So let me begin by saying that I am thankful for the generous giving of our church family. God is using you and the money that you give to impact people's lives here in Dummerston and across the county in the United States, even across the world. And we hear and we see those results on a weekly basis. You see, giving to God and his work is called stewardship. It is our responsibility to faithfully use what God has entrusted to our care. So this morning, I want to look at the foundation. I want to look at the motives. I want to look at the plan. And then I want to look at the blessings of giving to the Lord. Let's start with the foundation. Simply put, it's this. God owns everything. God owns everything. And in Scripture, God's statements are specific and they are very personal. For instance, in Psalm 50, he says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." You know, when King David prayed at the presentation of gifts and building the temple, this is what he wrote. He said, "All things, God, come from you, and of your own we have given you." And because of that, James wrote this, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." God owns it all. He owns everything. Now, I know you have worked long and hard to get where you are and to get what you have. But it is God, as Moses said, who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Everything is God's. And we are responsible to faithfully manage that which he has entrusted into our care as stewards. And then building upon that, the Bible tells us that God commands all believers to give to him and give to his kingdom work. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says, "On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections will be made when I come." Do you notice in that verse the phrase, "each one of you"? And not only all of us, but all of us in every circumstance we find ourselves in. Paul gives the example to us of the believers in Macedonia, where he said that in a great deal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality, or the wealth of their generous giving, in their deep poverty. The Bible also tells us that some believers have the spiritual gift of giving. And this is the gift that God gives to certain people, where they are able to, with unusual generosity and with great joy, go beyond even being a steward of the money and the resources that God has provided. So the foundational teaching from Scripture is that every believer, each and every believer, no exceptions, has the responsibility of giving to God and giving to his kingdom work. Let's look at the motives. Motives are important, as we all know. For instance, you may recall this situation in the New Testament. The two small copper coins that amounted to about one penny that the poor widow in the New Testament gave out of her love for God and was blessed by God. And then he contrasts that with the large sum of some wealthy people who gave that, who were trying to impress other people with what they had. And the Scripture tells us that that was not blessed by God. You know, there's a balance here. On the one hand, we cannot excuse ourselves from our responsibility of stewardship, of giving, just because of how we feel. You know, such as, well, you know, I'm not feeling at peace about that. Excuse. Or I don't have joy about it, so I guess I shouldn't give. But on the other hand, we are to examine our motives and we are to give with proper motivation. So let me give you some of the proper motivations that God tells us to have. The first one is the joy that we have in Christ. And Paul used the example of the Macedonian churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. It says there in 2 Corinthians 8, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed with a wealth of generosity on their part." These Macedonian believers were persecuted and they were poor, but they had an abundance of joy in Christ. They were so thankful to Christ for their salvation, for their ongoing relationship that they had with Jesus. And that joy overflowed and motivated them to give generously to God in his work. So you need to ask yourself this morning, are you joyful in Christ? Not in your circumstances, but in Jesus Christ, your Savior. For one test of our joy in the Lord is our giving. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. You see, our joy in Christ should motivate us to give. It should overflow out of our hearts with giving to God and giving to His work through the church. Well, there's a second motivation, and that is our love for God and others. Paul's directions to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8 is this. But just as you excel in everything, in speech and faith and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You know, with all the problems that the believers in the church at Corinth had, and they had quite a few, just read through 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul also recognized the strengths that they had as a church. And when he started thinking of those strengths that he had, the thing that came out crystal clear was their love. And just as Christ gave to us out of his love, so our love for him should motivate us in our financial giving. You know, as a person, sometimes people don't give to the Lord because they're not aware that this is their responsibility. But if you are aware, they may not be committed to God through love. So when you think about your giving, reflect upon God's love in your life. And then reflect upon your love for God and His people. It is the motivation for giving. Well, let's move on to the plan of giving. With these proper motivations in view, let's see what kind of a plan he says. And I want to start with looking at the Old Testament, some background from the Old Testament in their tithes and offerings. The tithe was a cornerstone of Israel's giving to God. The word tithe means a tenth or 10%. Now listen carefully, okay? God directed Israel to give two tithes every year and one additional tithe every 3 years. So if you're doing the math in your head, that's an average of about 23% of their income was required of the Jewish people. But we're not done yet. The Jews also added an annual temple tax, which brought that a little higher. In addition to this regular giving that was required, there were offerings that were voluntary for special projects, like expressing love and thanksgiving for other believers, or helping the poor. So we're looking somewhere in the neighborhood, folks, but between 30% and 40% was required. But in the New Testament, and there's a brief breath of fresh air. Oh, phew. The emphasis is on voluntary giving. And God gives to us three principles from 1 Corinthians 16. Okay? So first principle is this: have a plan and plan ahead. Have a plan and plan ahead. Planning is important. Now, planning is never a substitute for doing, but it is important if we're going to reach our goal. And this applies to our stewardship of giving as well. It says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. Now, the specific situation that Paul is dealing with here in 1 Corinthians 16, 2 was for a project. It was for giving to the poor and the persecuted Christians back in Jerusalem. And so the verse tells us here that each one of you needs to be participating in this. Paul also says that you are to put aside and save. You're to plan, you're to determine what you're going to do, and then you're to act on that plan. And then he tells us why. So that no collections be made when I come. Plan ahead, determine a specific amount to meet a specific need. Well, then the second part of the plan is regular giving. You know, the believers at Corinth met on Sunday each week as we do. And Paul told them that on the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save. Now, this was a practical way of regular giving. During this time, most workers were paid weekly, sometimes daily. And so for them, the most practical way to give was on a weekly basis. The principle that he's sharing here is give as you receive your income, whether it's weekly or monthly or once a year. You see, God knows that in our lives, there are a lot of things that we intend to do, that we perhaps even want to do, but we don't get around to doing because we don't have a plan that we act upon. So give regularly. The third principle is proportional giving. Paul instructs each person to give in verse 2 in keeping with his income. In other words, not $10. He didn't say give $10. He didn't say give $100. He didn't say give $1,000. He didn't say give 5%. He didn't 10 or 15 or 40%. And that's it. No more. He said give as we prosper. So I wondered how the church is doing in that regard. And I did a little checking this week. I didn't go too deep into it too far. I didn't need to. And let me give to you what's out there in terms of the giving patterns of people who regularly attend church. I read a report from the Religious News Service entitled, "Church Giving Reaches Depression-Era Record Lows." It states, the percentage of church members' income given to churches dropped to 2.3% in 2011, down from 2.4% in 2010. There was a book titled Passing the Plate, and that states this: Americans who earn less than $10,000 gave 2.3% of their income to religious organizations, whereas those who earned $70,000 or more gave only 1.2%. While the actual percentages are slightly higher for Christians who regularly attend church, the pattern is similar. Households of committed Christians making less than $12,500 per year give away roughly 7% of their income, a figure no other income bracket beats until the income rises above $90,000. In fact, you go on to say, in absolute terms, the poorest Christians give away more dollars than all but the wealthiest Christians. So, wherever you are, set a base target. Then as God provides for your needs and God prospers you, give accordingly. Remember these three principles for your plan of giving. You should have a plan and you need to plan ahead. You need to give regularly and you need to give proportionally. And if you do that, God says that you will receive at least 6 blessings from him. And that's what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verses 6 through 15. I told you we would get there. So the first blessing that God says we will get is that we will harvest what we sow. He says in verse 6, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God takes our investment of our time, our prayers, our encouragement, our faithful services, and He uses it to produce a spiritual harvest with everlasting results. God gives a bumper crop of blessing both here and for eternity for those who are faithful, those who are diligent, and those who are generous with their time and with their resources in His kingdom. Now, we all know that some have perverted this to say, you know, just give money to me. Give it to my organization and God will bless you financially. But that's not what God says here. The seed that we sow of our money, of our talents, of our time is for a spiritual crop, not a financial one. The second blessing that we will get if we follow God's plans is the blessing of God's love in verse 7. Each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, the Bible tells us that God loves every person on earth. It also tells us that God poured out his love into the hearts of every believer. And here in this verse, it tells us that God has a special love for those who give willingly and cheerfully for his kingdom work. Well, the third blessing is that of an increased ability to give. Look in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Those who give with planning and give proportionally and give regularly out of their love and with great joy will not be lacking for any of their needs because they're giving to the Lord. God will supply for you what you need and what you require in order to continue to serve Him. Now, this increased ability is even more than resources. You know, sometimes it's going to mean a growing desire and a greater commitment on your part to give to the Lord. Sometimes it may mean the ability to rearrange your priorities and increase your giving from the same amount of resources that you currently have. Blessing number 4. Upgraded spiritual life. Look in verse 10 again. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Just as our spiritual life is not isolated from the rest of our lives, so too our spiritual life is not isolated from anything else. It is all connected. It all affects each other. Faithfulness in prayer, faithfulness in reading God's word, or the quality of our relationships, our service to God, it is all connected together. And one of the blessings that God gives to us is when we give faithfully to Him, is our entire spiritual life is enhanced. Number 5, the blessing of thankfulness to God. Look in verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Your giving brings the blessing of other people. Giving thanks to God and glorifying Him. You know, often you may not know, you may not be aware of how your money affects and involves other people. You may not even know where it goes, who it goes to, and who benefits from it. But they are blessed. They are thankful. And they praise God, even though they don't know the details. But that's not important that they know who it came from. And neither is it important for you to know where it goes. Well, finally, number 6. There is the blessing of strengthened relationships with others. Drop down to verse 14. It says, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you." You know, sharing and serving draws people together, even when they're on the other side of our world. You know, the people here in Corinth hadn't met the people way over in Jerusalem, and they never would, that this offering was going to. The only people they would meet would be the messengers who would bring it to them. And yet they were drawn together, and the ties between them were strengthened because of their giving to meet their need. And you know, each month we provide you with a summary update of the work of the organizations and the people who we partner with in the gospel. And as you read those, and I hope you do, we take the time to summarize them for you. As you read those stories, you recognize that relationships are being built and strengthened. And you see how the gospel is being shared. And we see how God is using your giving for His kingdom work. Now, these relationships, and some of them are far away from Vermont, begin with faithful people called by God and acting upon that calling and using the gifts that God has given to them for His kingdom work. And they are strengthened as we give to meet the needs and their work, even though we may never meet the people that they serve. It's unlikely that we'll meet all of them. And that is a blessing that we receive from God as we generously give to Him through these people to His kingdom work. God tells us every Christian has been given the stewardship of giving. And this morning we've taken a look at some of the truths about this important aspect of church and the place that it has in our lives and in the mission of making disciples of all people. I want to remind you, God owns everything. All you have and all you are is only by the grace of God. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:19. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Why? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So you need to ask yourself this morning, where's your treasure? Is it invested in yourself? Is it invested in your pleasures or in your possessions? Is it hidden away in banks and securities? Or is it invested in the kingdom of God where he can use it for his kingdom work? For when we give to God, it reminds us of where our stuff comes from. And where you spend your money is an accurate gauge of what you value in your life and where your priorities lie. So, as you think through God's word this morning, and as you evaluate, I hope you do, your giving to God, two questions I want you to answer in your heart, not out loud, in your heart. Question number one, are you investing in the material or spiritual areas of life? For how we give and how much we give demonstrates that we are trusting God or whether our security lies someplace else. The things upon which you spend your money and where your treasure is invested is very important, because Jesus says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Question number two. As God evaluates your giving, and he does, as God evaluates your giving for his work of making disciples, is he pleased or disappointed? Listen, to the God who withheld nothing from you to secure your eternal salvation, are you being stingy or generous with the money that God has provided for you? It was George Mueller back in early 1900s, I believe, who said, God judges what we give by what we keep. Remember, giving to God and his work is stewardship. It is our responsibility to faithfully use what God has entrusted to us. It was C.S. Lewis who once said, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. God's plan for his church and for his people is to give regularly, give proportionally, with joy in our hearts and love for God as our only motivation. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that you are a generous God to us. That we lack nothing when we trust in you. That you provide perfectly for our needs. Thank you, God, that when it came to our spiritual life, our eternal life, you weren't stingy. You withheld nothing because of your love for us. And Father, we desire to be people who follow hard after you. We want to model our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we desire, Father, to make a difference, to make disciples of people here in Dumerston and Windham County and Vermont and even in the world that we've never met people. Father, it's our desire to have an impact in people's lives, that you would use us for your kingdom work. And all that takes money. And you have given to us, Father, a plan in order for that to occur in your kingdom work. That's not a surprise to any of us. You're a God who has perfect plans for your church. I pray, God, that for each one of us, that we would evaluate our giving as part of that, and that you would motivate us to give as you desire. Thank you, God, for the way in which you use the money that is given to impact the lives of so many people. People that we could never reach ourselves. Through our giving, you allow other people to reach them. Oh God, use what we give, that we might give more, that more people would be impacted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do this, we're asking in Jesus' name. Amen.